Morning, church. I can almost recognize everybody. It's hard with the mask, but it's good to see you in the house of God. I don't know if you sense it, but there's a wonderful, sweet presence of Jesus in the house. Hallelujah. So awesome to worship with you all and to be here. Please don't leave without wishing my wife and the baby. We love you, for you all to meet her. You know, we feel like family here. I'm looking at you. My heart is swelling with joy looking at you. So I want to bring you up to speed on what's going on. Some people I don't recognize, but I'm Frank Leonetti. I'm the founder of Mercy Works Ministries, very much connected with this church. This church prayed me through when I was hooked on heroin in the mental institution, and God visited me, set me free, put me on the mission field. And so Mercy Works Ministries is committed to preaching Christ, winning souls, and building up believers. Our vision is that all men would receive Christ, and Christ would be glorified in and through them. We've been working in India now for about 10 years and a couple other nations, and by the grace of God, we have seen Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and yes, even Americans coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All glory to him. As it is written, salvation belongs to the Lord. His blessing is upon his people. Most recently, about a week before coronavirus, the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, this vision, we're entitling it, had the Highways and Byways Initiative. So we have started a new branch of our ministry. We are not ceasing what we have been doing, but this right now is at the forefront. We have started training. We started doing street evangelism, and we're training the church in evangelism. So we are having Highways and Byways events now. So we have some scheduled. Let me tell you what it looks like in Wisconsin next month. On Friday night, we are having 2 1.5-hour prayer sessions, so the people have an option, but we will be there for 3 hours. On Saturday, we are having a half day of evangelism, bringing the people out to share Jesus on the street. And then on Sunday, we'll have testimonials, and by the grace of God, I'll share a message kind of like today. What will it look like on a Saturday morning when you go out? Well, on that morning, I'm going to be training the church. I have been equipped most recently with different tools. One is a 15-second testimony, which is very helpful. And that's your story, which you can transition into God's story, which is the gospel. And there's many tools that are there, and they're very useful, simple, easy to reproduce. So we have started this initiative upstate New York. For the last 3 weekends, we have been going out with 2 Assembly of God churches. One is Reedburn Church up in Hancock, New York, and the other is called Kingdom Life down in Hankins. Church, can I testify about a little bit about what we saw on the street? Well, first I want to testify that uncertainties have opened unbelievers' hearts to the gospel. Now is the time. The harvest is ripe now. Anytime you read that in John 4, it tells you that the harvest is ripe now, and it certainly is. As we've been going out, I'm right in front of Tops, which is a small grocery market. So if you can imagine, in these 2 towns that we're evangelizing in, there's only a square that's not maybe a quarter mile. So it's just like walking the track in high school once around. And I keep walking around, and there's new people in the day. I met Andy Baker. He was in the parking lot with his family in a pickup truck, and I started to speak to them. I shared my testimony. I started to share the gospel in the church that I was connected with in the area. He said, I helped build that church, and I was hurt by the believers in it. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Then he needed help moving a refrigerator, so I got into his truck. And after we were done, I got to pray with Andy Baker, who said, at once I was far away from God, but now I consecrate my life to come near to Jesus once again. My own mother came out with me in the laundromat in Hancock. That's the gold mine there. They're divinely trapped to hear the gospel at the laundromat. And we walk in, and there's a woman and her daughter and then a little girl. And we start speaking to them about Christ. And suddenly my mom has a word of knowledge saying, young lady, do you suffer with anxiety? She says, yes, I do. My mother prayed for her on this spot and she said something left her. That's what she said. Then this woman is saying, I'm so broken. You know, we have 6 people in our home and we have a 2-bedroom apartment. It's very hard for us. My mother put $20 in that woman's hand. We testified to the goodness of God. We prayed with them. We gave them a card that has the gospel track on one side and where she can attend church on Sunday. In another place in Calcun, walking around here, the gold mine there is in the park. Employees come out to have lunch. There was a young man named Cameron. He was just sitting there, and we walked up to him, and I just said, hey, I'm Brother Frank. I've been in India for the last 10 years telling people about Jesus. Corona affected us too, and now I'm back here in the States. Hey, when was the last time that somebody actually told you that Jesus loved you? Now, you'd be surprised. Some people told me 50 years. Some people said all kinds of things. He said never. This young man had no religious background. And I told him about my story and said, would you like to have a story like that? He said, yes. So then I told him God's story, which was the gospel. And that young man got saved outside right there in the park. He gave his heart to Jesus. There was another young man named Jacob. I met him in a fast conversation, very fast. And he says, my parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, but I've been listening to some Joel Osteen. Very open to whatever it is. He didn't make it for a decision right then, but he did commit himself to come to Bible study that next Wednesday. You can imagine when he called my phone and said, yeah, I'm coming to the church. Now I met with the pastor, I met with Jacob in a very odd setting where we had masks on our face, but God is drawing him. So be it. We'll meet with masks then. And the pastor taught, and then what the beautiful thing is he's meeting with the pastor this Wednesday again. And I've just passed him on. I have a desire in my heart to do the work of evangelist. I feel no need to be a pastor at this time in my life. And I just believe with all my heart, truly, that uncertainties are opening unbelievers' hearts to the gospel. And this is the time. Now, I'm connected with at least, 6 to 10 churches here in Long Island. And all of them want to be involved with this Highways and Byways initiative. They say, we want to do it, but we're waiting a little bit longer. I said, okay, some say the winter, some say next time it gets warm. That's up to them. But the beauty of this and the tools that are given is that it's not just meant to be used on the street. It's meant to be turned back to your relatives. It's meant to be turned back to the people that are in your workplace. It's a very simple tools that teach you how to share the gospel with other people. And me personally, the one thing that they didn't teach me in Bible school is very simply, how do you give a tract to somebody? How do you tell your testimony in 15 seconds? How do you tell God's story in just 1 minute, 2 minutes? How do you do those things practically? So that's what we are equipping the body of Christ with. Again, we are not leaving what we've been doing. We're continuing to do conferences. I'm heading out next month. We're going to Iowa. I'm just sharing with you a little bit more in detail. Another church, maybe I cut it off here, but you're my family. We're going out to a campground in Iowa for a meeting with a bunch of homeschool families. We're all meeting together for 3 days meetings. The next day, we're going into a rehabilitation center. We're still doing that. Lord willing, God will open more doors for the homeless shelters that we've been ministering in. And our work overseas is not done. It's put on pause because of all this mess. But in the future, now I have, for the first time, an apartment. I've been living out of a suitcase for 10 years. I've taken an apartment upstate New York. My wife and my baby are close to my parents. So when I leave to go overseas for a month or so, she's with my mother. So we're going to continue doing this a couple times a year. 3-4 times a year, I'll be going out for 3 weeks to a month. And that is the vision that we have. That's what God has been doing. That's where we are going. And we're very thankful that you are standing with us for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the back, I have a newsletter sign up. If you don't know what's going in our ministry, please sign up. And I'm beckoning to you. We have about 25 prayer partners so far. I need prayer partners. Please, if you feel the Spirit working something in your heart, sign up in the back. If you happen to be online and you're not here today, go into the HTTP, not to the Google search bar. Go in there and put our website in, www.mercy.works. www.mercy.works. Thank you for your patience. Hallelujah, church. God is good. All the time, God is good. Open with me to Colossians chapter 1. God has something for you very special this morning. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be going over verses 19 to 23, but I'm going to jump in to verse 23. Just waiting for some people's eye contact, then I'll know that you found it. Take your time. It's okay. Okay. Verse 23 says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard." Today, we're going to preach and hear this message. The unmovable hope of the gospel. The unmovable hope of the gospel. Lord Jesus, we want to come before you. We bow our hearts before your magnificent majesty. You're the all-powerful, almighty, all-sustaining God. All things are through you and to you, and because of you, all things exist. So we bow our knee. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess your name. You are the only God. You are the true God. You're a reigning God. You're a faithful God. And you're welcome in this house. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit and make Jesus real. Jesus, you died so that the Spirit would hover on the face of the gospel and be imparted into the hearts of men. This gospel gives us hope, and I pray that you'd impart this hope into the souls and into the inner man of everyone here, that they would be able to rejoice in the Lord and be unmoved no matter what the circumstance that comes. Because the enemy is coming in like a flood, O God, but you're able to make us stand. And Lord, I pray, God, you wouldn't just make us stand, but Lord, you'd raise up a standard. The answer to these evil times of floods of wickedness is God's people. Let them be on fire, God, here in Point Lookout. Let them see the blood of your cross that was shed. Let them see the power of the resurrection, which glorified you and your body, glorifying them with the power of God to stand and be a blessing to a dying world. They are the hope in hopeless times. They are the cry when people have no cry. They are the voice of reason when men say there is no God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a powerful impartation. When people walk out, they would know in whom they have believed, be refreshed, replenished, and their cup would overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. The unmovable hope of the gospel. Paul writes, "Do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel." This word, moved away, in Greek means to be stirred up to move away. Stirred up to move away. And that is exactly what the devil is doing in this hour. He is stirring up things in the news to move us away from the hope of the gospel. He's stirring up things in our families to try to make us move away from the hope of the gospel. But Jesus right now, if you can imagine him as a general, and we, his troops, right now are in the foxholes. We're in the trenches. And Jesus is saying, hold your ground. Stay in your trench. Hold your foxhole. The devil is moving in, but you don't move away from the hope of the gospel. That is his plan. He's trying to move in. And right now, we're experiencing chemical warfare. Whether God sent or God allowed, either way, it's here. There is the coronavirus in the land, and there is fear that is trying to grip the heart of America and bring down people's faith in the gospel. Right now, the tanks are out. Parents are out of work. Kids are out of school. What does it mean? Machine guns, turmoil in the household, family feuds, family fighting. Nobody's able to get out. Now we're experiencing air bombs all across the land. You say, what's that, brother? The climate of riots going through all the cities of America. I tell you that the enemy is trying to move in, stir us up so that we move away from the hope of the gospel. But like a baker, anything he folds into that flour arises. And today, as a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to fold into you the hope of the gospel, that hope would arise. Verse 19 in our text. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. What is the hope of the gospel? The fullness of God is in Jesus. Oh, it warms my soul. There's a rejoicing. My Jesus is 100% God. And it pleased the Father to fill Jesus with himself. And it pleases Jesus to fill us with himself. Jesus said, and if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We have to just ask, and God fills us with God. God is delighted. He is pleased to fill you with God. And my hope in this good book is I can be like my hero, Jesus. David was a great king. He was a man of war, known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He made musical instruments. He had women, concubines, wives. And you know what he said? He said in Psalm 17:15, and as for me, I will see his face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awaken in his likeness. I, King David, when will I be satisfied? Not with all these meager things. Not with all these minor things. Amen, sister. That was my baby. I will be satisfied when I awaken in Jesus' likeness. Don't be satisfied in your simple marriage, your children. Don't be simply satisfied in your job and success and in relationships and all these things that are temporal. I want you to be satisfied in what the King David, who Jesus proudly was nicknamed, the Son of David. Let that be your anchor. Let that be your goal. During this pandemic, I've gotten alone with God many times. This has been the prime opportunity to get closer to God. And I've been crying out, just like for an unbeliever, God, don't spare. God, don't spare. You know how you pray that? Don't spare them anything. Save them. I've been praying, God, don't spare me anything. God, please make me like Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever it takes. I'm not satisfied. I love you, honey. I'm not satisfied just in my marriage. I need Jesus in the center of my marriage. I need Jesus in every... I need to be like my hero. And until that happens, I'm not going to be satisfied. But my wife testified that I'm getting sweeter. So there's hope. The Godhead or the Trinity is in Jesus. That's our hope in the gospel. If you read Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him you are complete. You know, I tried drugs, heroin. I was clinically depressed. I wound up in a mental institution. I had a hole inside of me. I didn't realize that I would only be complete in him. You know, a man of God, and this man knows God. He stood with Deirdre and my friend Liz, and the three of us are holding hands. And he says, "You're the Father, you're the Son, and you're the Holy Spirit." And we put our heads down because we don't feel worthy of that. We're like, "Oh my goodness." And he says, "And I am a believer." And he came in and he joined in. So now there's four of us standing there. God the Father has invited you into a relationship with the Godhead, with the Trinity. You know, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. And you want to know something about Jesus and the Father? There's no favoritism with him. We are loved just as much as Jesus. But which adopted son would you ever say, "Okay, I'm going to pay for extra children to be there so my parents' time is split up"? Do you see what beautiful family you've been invited into? You are in fact a son. You are in fact a daughter. And there is no favoritism with God. He loves you just as much as Jesus. I remember the day that I got saved. I was in a sanctuary. I had my hands up. And I said, "Oh God, as long as you deliver me from drugs, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. And another thing is I want to love you. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because I actually love you." A friend of mine, Dr. Davis, he sets up all my meetings in Malaysia. And he's heard this testimony many times. He said, "Frank, the secret to your ministry is that God answered that prayer." And why not? The love of God compels us, doesn't it? Isn't that the thing that drives us forward? That there's a love in the Godhead, that we're loved just like Jesus, that there's no favoritism with God. The same lavish love that God will pour out on Jesus for eternity is upon us. We are welcomed into fellowship with the Godhead. And during this lockdown, it's not over. It's not over yet. There's been extension. During this lockdown is a certain time where God has ordained for his people to seek his face. The Lord has been much like a teacher, putting his finger over the lips saying, "Shh." He silenced the world. Does God have your attention right now? When I speak to my brothers in India, they talk about the horrible things that are happening. The poor are not getting food. People are dying. There's no buses. People are dying trying to walk to their home village. But they're all saying the same thing. In this time, brother, we've come closer to Jesus. Our spiritual life has gone up. I want to say to you this morning, are you using this time to seek the Lord? This time is not over, so you're not condemned. But if there's ever been a time, ever, ever in your life, in the hour of humanity, in our generation, that God would shut things down for his people to seek his face, isn't it now? If we miss this golden opportunity, when, I say, people of God, when we respond? The Lord said to me, "Seek my face." My heart said, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Glory to God. Right now is the time to hoard spiritual food. People are hoarding natural food. Go to Costco. Go to these places. They're trying not to panic, but they're trying to prepare. And now's the time that you should be hoarding spiritual food, same way we filled the cabinets. Why? We don't want to be panicked. We want to be prepared. What is coming next to America? It seems to me like blow after blow after blow. Is there another blow? I don't know, but let's be prepared. God wants to use you as a vehicle. If there's one point that I want to come across again and again, is that you are the arms and legs of Jesus in this hour. This theology that we have has to have some arms. It has to have some legs. It has to have a voice. It has to have fearlessness. It has to have hope. It has to have conviction. It has to have holy living. And we are the body of Christ. Point lookout. The Lord is calling upon you to rise up. Don't miss this hour. And if you have, so far, if you've been binge watching Netflix instead of getting your Bible open, you need to repent. There's no condemnation, but you should feel convicted in your chair. You should repent, get right with God, and get into the Bible. God has something for you. Don't miss it. If not now, then when? Verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of the cross. That precious, priceless blood of his cross. I was in India in a Bible school teaching with several men. And to make a point, I said in front of them, how much is this brother worth? And one of the men perks up and says, 50 rupees. That's about 75 cents. No, that's not how I wanted this to go. Another brother says, no, be quiet. He's got it, right? He says, this brother's worthless. You can't put a worth on him. Worthless. I think he means priceless. This is not going the way that I planned. But they got it. I want to tell you that you are priceless to the Lord Jesus. Listen, not one hair falls to the ground. Not one sparrow will die. Nothing will fall apart from the will of the Father. And if he takes care of the sparrow, he'll take care of you. Do you know how much you're worth to Jesus? Jesus reconciles all things to himself. The original sin, Adam's sin, separated him from God. God had to make skins out of animals. In other words, the blood had to be shed from an animal so they could be covered. That's how they were reconciled with the original sin. But then Jesus still had to come. And Jesus, when he came into this world, his blood was shed so that he can cover us. So we would be reconciled to Jesus. I spent much time on my face yesterday afternoon thanking God for the blood of Jesus. Thanking him that he reconciled me to himself. Are you thankful for that blood today? You are God's prized possession. Now, I understand that Jesus has reconciled men, but why does God have to redeem and reconcile the heavens? Why does he have to redeem and reconcile the earth? This makes no sense to me. There has been a great justice done in America recently. I almost vomited when I saw the video of the cop killing George Floyd. A tremendous injustice has happened. And that sin sent shockwaves through the cities. See the riots? You see the fire? You see how it spread? From that one sin? Well, the original sin, Adam's sin, sent shockwaves through the solar system. Not just men the curse came upon, not just the earth it came upon, but it spread all across the solar system. Our God is a great God. He knows the stars by number, so it is written. There's about 26 stars. Add 26 zeros to that. 26 plus 26 is 26 sextillion stars. And he knows them all by name. And all of these stars are great big balls of gas. and they're burning and burning and burning, and eventually they say every star will eventually burn out and die. But I don't think that was God's original plan. I think Adam and Eve would have lived forever. I think the stars would have burned forever. But do you see the effects of the fall? Do you see the effects of sin and the shockwaves it sends? And I ask you, church, why do we think that our sin will not affect others? Now, I got a picture in my heart, and I want to try to describe it to you this morning. If Earth was the size of a golf ball, it'd probably go into Jupiter, I think, 100 times. I think it's Neptune or Jupiter. But trying to give you the size of this, our solar system here. Pluto, which was a planet, it circles around and around and around. I just want to imagine a cup that's that big, that's really tall. Okay? And I want you to see sin's curse upon every pharaoh and every sire and every lord and king and Indian Maharaja that ever lived. And all the people under them, Nebuchadnezzar, the whole bunch. And I want you to see the sin that's upon every blade of grass and upon every tree that's crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's creation is groaning. And I want you to see the enormity of the curse upon every star in the universe filling that cup. And now see your Savior on the cross. And God the Father has poured it all out onto Jesus. And Jesus became sin's curse. And the wrath of God had to justify us by crushing the Savior. You see, whenever your sin is real big in your own eyes, look to the treetops and look to the stars and say, God, if you can reconcile them, you can reconcile me. Hallelujah. The Father's heart, his compassion is upon you this morning. The devil's lie in this hour is God can't reconcile these problems. He cannot. God cannot reconcile the problem. What is the first lie of the devil? Corona will lord over you instead of Jesus is Lord over the corona. Now you hear me. This is a lie from the pit of hell meant to torment you. There is a new normal. You'll wear a mask for some time, yes. But listen, the Spanish flu came and it went. The bubonic plague came and it went. The black plague came and it went. H1N1, it came and it went. Beloved, this two will go. It will pass. And it's not meant to. Jesus is Lord over this virus. He has the earth underneath his feet. The nations are under his feet. Every microscopic disease is underneath his feet. A second lie that the enemy has in this hour is the family feuds, the family fighting that's going on because people are locked indoors. God can reconcile the heavens. If God can reconcile all of creation, he can reconcile your family problem. And this last lie has to do with these rebellious riots. There's rebellious riots across the land. Now listen closely, because I've toiled with God and these words have come from heaven. The lie that the enemy is saying right now is rebellion will satisfy your injustice. Rebellion will satisfy your injustice. There's a real injustice that has happened. It's like a 17-year-old girl who's abused by his father in every way. I don't want you to imagine, but you understand. And now she is rebelling. She's beginning to go with all these guys. She's beginning to smoke, to drink, and there's some self-destruction there. And in all this, the lie is that rebellion will satisfy my injustice. Right now, there's been injustice in the land, and look how the enemy has lied to the people, and the rebellion is spreading. They'll never say enough. The fire never says enough. The grave always wants more soul. The earth always wants more water. It never says enough. Well, what's the truth? The truth is, forgiveness will satisfy your injustice. Forgiveness will satisfy your injustice. If you remember, there was a man named Brotham Jean. He was 26 years old. He testified in court. What happened? His brother was sitting at home, and a cop came into the apartment building, thought she was going into her own apartment, came into his apartment, and shot this man dead on his own couch. Now, Brotham Jean is testifying against to all these people that I want to tell you that I believe in Jesus, and yes, she killed my brother. But I want to say to you that I forgive this man. And judge, I want to ask permission. I want to ask your permission. Can I get up and can I give them a hug? Yes, you have my permission. The judge also gives a Bible. All the people on the outside are banging. They want justice. They want blood. But that will never satisfy. Forgiveness will satisfy your injustice. It's the only thing that will quench that flame. And now if God can put forgiveness in Bothram's brother, if God can put forgiveness in the hearts of the people here today for our enemies, God can put forgiveness in the heart of America. Believe on the gospel. He is able to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You who were once, this is what I'm like apart from Jesus. I'm an alien. I'm separated from God. I'm against God. I'm against him in my works. My mind is against him, but there is another mind that's so beautiful. It's called the mind of Christ. Of that mind, David spoke saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" In other words, I'm a dust creature like everybody else who has been at enmity with God, an enemy of God in my works, in my mind, in all that I've done, and still you're mindful of me? He says in another place, "How precious also are your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If they should be numbered, they would be more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." That means, God, you have so many precious thoughts. And they're precious to me. Because you know the words before they come out of my mouth, and sometimes they're not so nice. And when I try to count all those thoughts, it's like going down to the seashore over there and counting the sand. And I'd fall asleep if I did that. And when I woke up, I'd still have to count the precious thoughts of God towards me. At another place it says his understanding is infinite. What I mean to tell you about God's mind is God knew that men would sin against him, but he made a decision. Jesus made a decision. He agreed that he would love men until they surrendered to God. I'm making a firm decision that I'm going to love all of them until they surrender to God. There was a place I preach in down in Tampa, Florida, called the God Center. Brother Beadle founded it. He passed away this year. Let me tell you about Brother Beadle. He in Florida, whiskey drinking, Harley Davidson riding, drug selling man. You would not mess with him. And he's watching the TV evangelist on the television. And he says, "All right, these people are getting touched. Woo, they're falling down. I'm going to see this." He rides his Harley drunk to the church. He walks up to the platform. He looks right in the preacher's eyes and says, "Come on, hit me. Come on, hit me." The preacher laid on hands on him, and he fell to the floor. But this man got up and was changed. The preacher agreed to put him through 3 years of Bible school. Then Beadle, with a vision from God, went down to downtown Tampa, to one of the hardest places around. There's prostitutes running around, gangbangers, You name it, it's there. He has to carry a firearm. But it's in that place, that little place that's hell on earth, that's where he decided. He made a decision. I'm going to set up a homeless shelter. And no matter what comes through that door, I am going to love them until they surrender to God. Again, I want this point to come through. You are the hands and legs of this theology. You are born. You have a soul. You are born into a family. That family is not a mistake. The year that you're born in is not a mistake. The nation that you're born into is not a mistake. In Acts 17, when Paul is with the Athenians, he says, look, you're from the Adam's race, and there is a, you have the boundaries of your limits and your appointed times. That is your place where you live, your appointed times. In other words, it's not a mistake that you're in the family that you're in. There's no excuses. There's no excuse for the time you're in where there's more wickedness. No, God chose you for this time. He chose you for this hour. God chose you for this nation. He chose you for your job place. He chose for those people that you ride with to Manhattan on the train. You are appointed to those places, and in all those places that you go, you need to make a firm decision. I charge you by the word of God. I charge you, by the Holy Spirit, that this would be the time that you'd make a decision. No matter what happens in my family, in my workplace, in my nation, on the train, I'm making a decision to love these people until they surrender to God. Remember the words in 1 Peter 3:18. When it says that for Christ also suffered once for all, for the just and the unjust, that he might bring them to God. That's the context. To bring people, unjust people, to God. And then the charge there is in 4:1, where it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for you in the flesh, arm yourself also to suffer for others. Arm yourself to suffer. We're putting on the armor. Oh, with your mind. Arm yourselves also to suffer. Put your mind. I'm going to open it. I want to get the words right. Here it is. Therefore, since Christ also suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. You can't claim the mind of Christ until you have this mindset. You're bringing people to God. You're bringing people to God. I charge you this morning by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We are to be presented to God, holy, blameless, above reproach. I just want you to imagine a businessman for a minute coming into a meeting, and he's making a presentation, and his boss says, wow, that's perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. I accept it. We're going to use it. It's perfect. You want to know? Jesus is like that businessman. He did some business on the cross, and he comes and he presents you to the Father. And the Father says, they're holy. They're blameless. They're above reproach. Above reproach in the eyes of the Father at the judgment seat of Christ? What glorious thing Jesus has done for us. In another translation, it says, unblemished and unblameable. If you could imagine two lambs next to each other, one's full of spots, but Jesus, the pure one, says, I'll take your spots. Now you're pure. You're blameless. You have no spot. That's how the Father sees us at the end. That's why in the Song of Solomon it says, you are all fair, my love. There is no spot in you. You would think it would say, there is no spot on you. But whatever you've been thinking in your mind and your works and however you've been against God, it's been erased. You've been reconciled. There is not a spot. And Jesus speaks to you with love language. You are all fair, my love. Now you're seeing Jesus as the businessman, but I want you to see him as the mailman. Because one day, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. Can you imagine that? One day, at the end of this age, Jesus, the mailman, is going to come with a special delivery for the Father. I've come, I've wrapped up the heavens and the earth like a cloak, rolled them up like a scroll, and here it is, my Father. How selfless is the Lord Jesus? He wins men if they belong to the Father. He gets the heavens and the earth, he gives them to the Father. Everything is unto the Father. Hallelujah. I tell you that our mind is in infancy when it comes to the benefits of the cross. We're still looking at our benefit. We got saved. We got this. Look for what the reason Jesus went to the cross. It was for God's benefit. It was for his gain. And that's the thing I love about Jesus. He's so selfless. I want the prize when I win the game. Don't you? I want a little glory if I preach well secretly in my heart. Oh, tell me I did good. Don't any of you do that. Verbal vomits, that's the kind of compliments those things are. Encouragement's okay. But Jesus gave it all. This is what I love about him. And I got my apartment for the first time, my people, in Hancock. I've been living out of a suitcase for 10 years. And what's special to me there is my wife and my daughter are there. Don't you see? That's like the kingdom. God's redeemed the earth and the heavens, but what's important is you. You reside there. Proverbs 8 is so beautiful. Jesus is standing beside the Father as a master craftsman. The Father's saying, no, waters, you won't go past this boundary. You stop in Long Beach. I want this. You know, all powerful. And then he says, I was rejoicing in all the things he made, but my delight was with the sons of men. You are his pearl. You are his treasure. In conclusion, we come to our last verse. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Continue in the faith. Which part of the faith? The part he was just talking about. Holy, blameless, above reproach. That's the part of the faith. Living a holy life. Living righteous. Living blameless. Nobody should be able to say, you know, this brother's a hypocrite. You know, this person, you know, they got something in them. Why? Because what they're digging for is Jesus is not real by your life. So they can disregard the whole gospel. That's what the devil, that's what the flesh is looking for. I don't want to be that man. God forbid. Holy, blameless. It's very simple. What do you know to be right in your heart? Speak the truth in your heart. And the psalm says, who may abide in his holy hill? He who works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Speak the truth in your heart. How are you living? Is there something that needs to go? Then let it go. That's all. It's very simple. You have the Holy Spirit. He convicts you. Allow him to work in you. Don't be satisfied until you awaken in his likeness. Are you satisfied in something else this morning? Is there some other simple pleasure God gave you that you've forsaken God, forgotten God? Come on, man. I know that nobody here is out there doing drugs or something like that. I'm talking about the motives of your heart. I'm talking about the deep places. I'm talking about just the one little place that God is saying, and you're holding on to it as a secret treasure. That's what God is after. Cry out to God. Tell him, spare me not. Make me like Jesus. We need to be grounded. Grounded where? In the Word of God and in prayer. The Godhead has open arms today saying, I've welcomed you in here for fellowship, and there is a banquet of the knowledge of God. The Lord doesn't call you his servant. He calls you his friend because you have obeyed his commandments. And he's saying, and I hear it in the spirit, draw nearer to me. Hallelujah. And he will draw nearer to you. I repeat, there is a window right now. And if you don't seek God now, I don't know when you will. There is turmoil like we've never seen in our generation. Everything is stopped. Will you stop yourself and make time for God? One of my most verses that gets me so upset in Isaiah is Isaiah's prophesying and he says, there's no one who calls on my name who stirs himself up to take hold of me. Some people think this is emotional, maybe, but I think stirring yourself up to take hold of him is I make my timings. You understand that the manna in the Old Testament fell from heaven and then at a certain time it melted? At a certain time, that means there's a certain time when you miss your timings, you miss that time for that day. How are you going to live without bread, without water? My greatest desire for you, church, is that you would spend time with God and he would be happy, and that when you spend time with him, your joy would be complete in God. If you would make my Father smile by making time for him, he would know that you love him. For his love language is when you seek his face. It is written, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. A banquet of the knowledge of God is set before you. Steadfast. As it says in that last verse in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore be unmovable, steadfast, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, you're saved by faith, but faith without works is dead. I say because it brings no glory to God. Let your light shine before men and do all your good works so that they glorify your Father in heaven. There needs to be some mercy project in your life. I've been praying with God during this whole pandemic. God, please, just send somebody so I can show some kindness. Please, Lord, let me serve someone. Please, God, I want to glorify your name in heaven. God's allowed me some opportunities to move some of the poorest people with my Father's van that you've ever met in your life. Not even below poverty level, people living in abandoned houses. I'm pleading with you. For the glory of Jesus, for the glory of God, church, will you rise up? Will you do some mercy works? Not trying to earn anything with God, but just pouring out your appreciation. I plead with you for the glory of Jesus. Pray. Do some mercy works. Let your light shine. Glorify your Father. If you do these things, you will not be moved away from your hope in the gospel. Get yourself in a praying position. Connect with God. A couple minutes we'll spend in prayer. You have something you need to say to Jesus? Something convicted you? Something you want to repent? Something you want to consecrate? This is the time. Let your whole life shift. Burn it out for Jesus. It starts here in prayer. Without a working of the Spirit, your nature will never change. Holy Father, I'm asking you personally, Lord, for the glory of God. Come by your Spirit. Lord, we need something desperately to rub upon us today. We need desperately some kind of impartation. We thirst for God. We pant for God. My heart cries out for the living God. And Lord, as I've been, Lord, toiling in prayer for your people, Lord, I'm asking you one more time, let your glory come, Lord. Fan the flame in their heart for the love of the Savior. Let there be no such thing as Jesus' second place. Lord, I pray, Lord, that each one would consecrate themselves right now to a pace that they can keep. That's realistic. goals that they can consecrate, Lord, that they would know, Lord, that they can meet by those works. And those who are struggling, Lord, with condemnation, as if they missed their time by binge-watching Netflix or some other thing, Lord. Right now, you people of God, you speak with your lips like Hannah. She prayed, but words didn't come out of her mouth. Say, God, you forgive me. The time's not over. You forgive me. Wash me in your blood. I want to show my love to you. Those who love you, Lord, seek you. I love you, Lord. I want to seek you. Forgive me. I'm moving on. I'm grabbing a hold of it. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to proclaim your praises in the Psalms. I'm going to worship you in the Gospels. I'm going to rejoice with you in Revelation. Your Word is my home. Your Word is my home, oh God. I pray that, Lord, that your Word would become a home, Lord, to each and every person here. That you, oh God, would be their dwelling place. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you'd come to those who are struggling financially in this time, Lord. Lord, so many people, God, it's hard in Long Island. I'm pleading with you, Lord. Will you provide for them? Save, oh Lord. Oh Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Send now the breakthrough. Send now a tidal wave of the riches of the glory of God, Lord. And all their needs should be met according to the glory of your gospel, oh Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give them a voice. Lord, to speak to the people that you have appointed in their lives. It's no mistake, their family. There's no excuse. There's no excuse, Lord, of the time and the season. No excuse, Lord. It's a place that you have appointed, oh God. Let that conviction come, Lord, and give them a voice like the Samuel the prophet. It said the Lord was with them, and none of his words fell to the ground. God, rise up your people here in Point Lookout, Father. That their words wouldn't fall to the ground, but rather plow the foul ground and be inserted and imparted into the people. A breaking anointing, O Lord, that would soothe people and put them at ease, that they would realize that there is hope in Jesus Christ. The harvest is ready now. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would silence our souls even now. We just want to give you all the glory. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the earth. I'll be exalted among the nations. We're in awe of a God who has redeemed us and the stars and the heavens and the earth. And I pray that that stillness and that peace would just rest upon your people even now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have heard this prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.